ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मेतयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तम्हदेवम् आत्मबुद्धिप्रकाशम् मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये। वी हैव कंप्लीटेड द फिफ्थ वर्स ऑफ द दक्षिणामूर्ति स्तोत्रम इन अवर लास्ट क्लास। इन दैट देयर इज वन पर्टिकुलर लाइन व्हिच आई नीड टू रिपीट, देन वी विल मूव ऑन टू द सिक्स्थ वर्स। सो व्हाट इज दिस फिफ्थ वर्स? देहं प्राणमपि इंद्रियाण्यपि चलां बुद्धिं च शून्यं विदुः स्त्री बाल अंध जड उपमाः तु अहमिति भ्रांता भृशंवादिनः मायाशक्ति विलास कल्पित महाव्यामोह संहारिणे तस्मै श्री गुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये। ही हू रिमूव्स ऑल द टेरिबल मिसकॉन्सेप्शंस क्रिएटेड बाय द डेल्यूडिंग प्ले ऑफ महामाया इन दोज who are intellectually innocent as a woman, a child, a blind or an idiot, and who consider the reality as their body or their prana or their senses or their ever-changing intellect or as a mere void and through error, misconception, declare them to be the only reality. He who destroys all these misconceptions, to him the divine teacher Sri Dakshinamurti, who manifests to each one of us in the form of our own individual guru, is my prostration. The line I was referring to, Stri Bala Andha Jada Upamaha Tu Ahamiti Bhranta Bhrusham Vadinaha. These words, especially the word Stri, may give offense to many women. We have discussed it, but yet I am still repeating it. A stri or a woman is supposed to be full of unintelligent emotions, unthinking emotions. Even we use in English language, a coward male is also called, are you a woman? Like that expressions are there in many other things which I would not like to bring here. Stri merely means an unrefined mind with full of conflicting and jostling emotions, and every time the person changes his mind. A person who doesn't have a definite idea either about himself or the world, but goes on changing according to the changing scenario of the emotions, such a personality is called Stri. Bala means a person who has tremendous potentialities, and yet at this particular time the person has an undeveloped intellect, but he has got wonderful opportunity to grow up and to understand deeply, provided he gets the opportunity. And that depends upon the parents, the family, the society, etc. Then, jada, andha. Andha means blind. A blind person is a terrible fanatic. He refuses to see the truth. Even when the sun is shining at midday, says it is complete darkness, and what I say alone is the truth. And plenty of such people are there in this world. Then there is a jada. Jada means a person who is neither a fanatic nor a child with potentiality, but at least for this life, for Vedanta doesn't say that anybody is condemned forever to hell. Maybe this life, maybe after 100 lives, this person will come up. Jada simply means that the person has no right equipment to understand things properly. And all these people, what do they? All the people who are deluded and who vehemently argue what we hold, that opinion alone is the ultimate truth, such people fall into one of these categories. That simply means they are not rational, and they do not have even that openness to truth. But in course of time, they will also move on. For the escalator called evolution will not allow anybody to stand where he is. Every millisecond we are progressing towards the truth. So in this fifth verse, what we have discussed was that all of us, either we say I am the possessions, or I am the body, or I am the prana, or I am the sense organs, or I am the mind, or the intellect, or I am what we call anandamaya kosha. Identifying oneself with the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. All these ideas that we had discussed belong to one of these three categories. Or even better, Vedanta divides our identity into five layers. Pancha kosha, the body, the prana, the intellect, the mind, the intellect, and then finally anandamaya kosha. This deha, prana, manas, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. All these are completely mistaken notions, but the wonderful thing is we all start with identification with our possession, then progress identification with the body, with the prana, with the mind, with the intellect, and with ananda, and ultimately we go beyond ananda. That is the inevitable process of this evolution, spiritual evolution, and incidentally even biological evolution, and mental or intellectual evolution, moral evolution, or spiritual evolution. All these come one after the other. I am tempted to make a small remark here. When a person is evolving, all the faculties within him also automatically evolve. It's not that a person is very spiritual and is an anadi in music, or aesthetic sense is lacking. That's never possible. As we progress, progress in every field will be there. The only imagery or analogy I can give you, supposing you are climbing a mountain, as you are climbing into higher and higher places, your vision widens, and on all sides the vision widens. Exactly in the same way, when a person progresses in life, however it may appear he is stuck somewhere, but progress is inevitable, then whether it is physical evolution, or intellectual evolution, or moral evolution, or spiritual evolution, and of course included aesthetic evolution, all these things take place. Perhaps you can recall that ananda, bliss or happiness, is divided into five categories: Vishayananda, Medhananda, Kalananda, Dharmananda, and Brahmananda. All these take place one by one. Nobody will remain in the same state forever. Now, another point we need to... I don't belong to any one of these schools. I know I am the Atman. Only a realized soul can tell that. Until that time, some people may practice, a few people, intellectually being convinced that I am the Atman, but even they are far from there. Rest of the people, rest means all of us, at some point of time, we identify with our possession, at some point of time with the body, other times with our prana, other times with our sense organs. The mind means ideas, thoughts, and at other times our convictions. That includes Shraddha. And ultimately, of course, all of us do anything that we do because we wish to be happy. This is called Anandamaya Kosha. Please note down these two points. We go on changing our identity at any given time. First point. Second point, at any given time, all these ideas are there inherent, but one particular idea becomes dominant. Third point, the purpose of life itself is to be happy. Ultimately, this is the only judgmental value. Am I happy? Am I not happy? And the fourth point is, we realize finally, having happiness is insecurity, fear. Being happiness, becoming one with happiness, is the ultimate goal. That is the essence of the fifth verse. Now we enter into the sixth verse. I have to declare at the outset that this is one of the most marvelous shlokas in the literature of philosophy in the whole world. The first point we take note is, excepting Indian philosophers, nobody has taken note of the second and third states which every living creature experiences in its life cycle. What are we talking about? Every living creature successively goes through the waking state, Jagradavastha, the dream state, Swapnavastha, and also Karanavastha or deep sleep state. And correspondingly, we also have got at every stage that particular instrument through which that particular experience of the world can alone be experienced only with that instrument. For example, the physical body is the root cause of the Jagradavastha, waking state. And the subtle body, Sukshma Sharira, is the only instrument for experiencing dream state. And the causal body, that very name, causal, cause, devoid of both physical and subtle bodies, that is the only instrument to experience it. Now, all the other schools of philosophy, that means our concepts about who we are, depend upon the waking state as well as the dream state. Now, the third state, which is called deep sleep or sushupti. That is why supti means just to be oneself completely detached from everything else. So, supti by the Sanskrit grammar, sandhi, su plus su becomes su, shu, sushupti, deep sleep, where there is neither the physical body nor the subtle body. And very few people, including psychologists, they have not taken cognizance of this state. But Vedanta has taken a deep study of both the waking dream as well as the deep sleep. And of all the states, this deep sleep state is the nearest to understanding what Advaita Vedanta really is. And we have to learn a lot of lessons, which I am going to go a little bit deep, but I think it would be clear enough when I go on talking about it. There are lots of lessons to be learned by studying this deep sleep state. What is deep sleep? What happens in deep sleep? And how we can learn our lesson? These things we will, as we go on in this shloka, dwell upon it. But first of all, we have to understand Vedanta is the only philosophy in the whole world which takes into consideration the totality of experiences of life available at all the three stages of consciousness, the waking, the dream, and the deep sleep conditions. And incidentally, the commentary of Gaudapada along with the commentary of Shankaracharya. Gaudapada's commentaries are called Karikas. And these Karikas, not only they are tough in what is called composition, but extremely deep in their meanings. So it is said, if one doesn't study Mandukya Karika, he will never understand what is Advaita Vedanta. And if a person has studied Mandukya Karika, he need not study any other Upanishad, that alone will do. And what is this Mandukya Karika about? Mandukya Upanishad plus Gaudapada's Karikas plus Shankaracharya's Bhashyam. These three together we simply call Mandukya Karikas. These three combined together study the three states of human, complete human experience. As I mentioned just now earlier, every living creature, including a mosquito, has to have the waking state, the semi-waking state called dream state, as well as the dreamless state. Many times I made fun. A young male mosquito also has a tremendous dreams about his dream girl and vice versa. So it also, where can I get easy food, good food, and without much trouble, then I can take complete rest. Even this mosquito also goes into this deep sleep state, because it is the nature of the Paramatma, Atma, who sustains, who is the substratum of all these three states, and who cycles, as it were, from one state to the other state. We have no reason to say that only human being experiences and others do not experience. No scientific study has ever been done so comprehensively as the Advaita Vedanta philosophy. When our awareness of everything has ended, and even the mind and intellect have retired, and the intellect perceives nothing. This condition of rest in the causal body, this is called Sukshma Karana Sharira, is called the state of deep sleep. These are the three conditions of consciousness, the waking, the dream, as well as the deep sleep. It is from this condition of deep sleep, or study of the condition of deep sleep, that the Buddhists, which was mentioned earlier, Shunyavad, these are called Shunyavadins, a particular school of Buddhistic philosophy called Madhyamikas, Apochi. Nagarjuna was one of the greatest persons. He seems to be a Telugu person, and that's why such an intellectually sharp person bring us. Why the sharpness? Because the Andhra people eat a lot of chilies. Naturally, the buddhi is forced to be wide awake, not otherwise. Okay, this is called Shunyavada. How did they arrive? This idea of Shunyavada, well, my friend, if you are the body, if you are the sense organs, or any of the other states we just mentioned, what happens in deep sleep? You do not exist at all. You wake up completely as a different person, as if you are dead. You are a reborn person. Every person who wakes up from deep sleep has woken up from a state of shunya or void. But this is completely irrational. Even though some of the Buddhists were so completely rational, highly intellectual, how they missed this idea is a matter for surprise. So sleep is empty of experience, sushupti. We are not talking about dream. The sleep state is empty of experiences, because the instruments of the waking and the dream experiences got through the gross and subtle bodies are not available in deep sleep, and so they do not bring us any experiences. This condition of deep sleep is caused by the power of maya, veiling power of maya, maya samachhadanat. Now the question is, when we are in deep sleep, does the Atman get completely annihilated, or it is only a temporary destruction of the manifestations of the body and mind? That is the $64,000 question. And this condition is so beautifully dealt with by Shankaracharya by giving a simile in this sixth shloka. What is the simile here? We experience eclipses. The eclipse of the sun, eclipse of the moon, these are the two important things. And when the sun is eclipsed or the moon is eclipsed, as if the sun is completely hidden, and so in deep sleep also, the maya eclipses this Atman, as it were. And so we do not experience, or we say, we think we do not experience, which is of course a complete false assertion, which we are going to discuss very shortly. It is, some people have come to the understanding, for 5 hours, 6 hours, I did not know anything. I was not even aware of my own existence. So I must have been completely absent, and therefore it is a state of pure void. And after dream state, we enter into void state, and then we come back. Magically, somehow, it is one of the greatest miracles that how we wake up and then find our identity exactly in the same way. That is, that these people do not analyze at all, and that is what is going to be analyzed in this sixth shloka. Consciousness is not absent. It is very much available. Not only available, it is fully functional. Otherwise, who is going to wake up? Upon waking up, remember that I slept. We don't say XYZ had come into my deep sleep and I was absent, he slept, and then I woke up. This is completely irrational. What do we say? Aham sukham asvapsam. I slept well. Nobody says, nobody else has come and then slept. Not only that, it is one of the states of happiness. That's another argument posited, because if I am void, who was experiencing the sukha? I was very happy. Now, who was experiencing? Is your neighbor coming and experiencing happiness, or are you experiencing the happiness? Was it your experience? If you are not present, obviously you cannot experience. And another very interesting fact is, we can only remember what we experience. Suppose you saw a strange animal and then you have an experience and then you can have recollection. Can you give me one example that you remember something which you never experienced yourself? Of course, there are Prabuddhas all over the world. No, I did not have any experience, but I read Sri Ramakrishna's experience and I am quoting it. That's not your experience. That's not your memory. That was Sri Ramakrishna's memory. It is not a memory of experience. It is a memory of what you read about Sri Ramakrishna's words. There is a huge difference between these two. Let me just give an example. Sri Ramakrishna has eaten a very wonderful sweet and he comes and tells, in my whole life, I never tasted anything like this. And he expresses it to you and you hear it. And then you recollect, Sri Ramakrishna says, if you are honest, what do you say? You never say, I experienced it. At best, you can say, I think, I believe there is a sweet which is marvelous because a truthful person like Sri Ramakrishna could not have otherwise stated like that. This is not memory of your experience. It is the recollection of the experience of somebody you read either in the books or heard from his mouth or whatever it is. So what I am trying to tell you, only each one of us first must experience something and that will be creating a memory and later on we recollect that memory. This recollection of memory has got a very technical word in Vedanta. It is called Pratyabhijna. So for example, you have seen Rama 50 years back and afterwards you never met him. Perhaps you even had forgotten him and one day suddenly you meet him and then you could not of course recognize. There is a third person, a common friend for both of you, yourself and Rama, and he says, do you recognize this person? You say, no, I don't think I have ever met this person. This is why you fellows grew up side by side. He was your neighbor and you played together. This is Krishna. Oh my God, I remember now. That means you recollect an experience which you had 50 years before. This recognition, first time, that is cognition. But there afterwards, every time we cognize something, it is not original cognition, but it is recognition. That recognition is called Pratyabhijna. Abhijna is cognition. Pratyabhijna is, Prati Abhijna is recognition. Every single time we experience something and we can do it billions of times, that is called Pratyabhijna. Now, I am going to tell you something which I many times expressed it. Suppose you have seen me just now, at least on this Zoom class, you have seen my face and then you have been listening and suddenly a new thought comes and then you again come back and remember me. Now, don't think that it is not a recognition. Each time some thought comes of which we experienced billions of times, every time it is a new cognition. But because just a few minutes back we have seen the face, the process of time that takes to cognize or recognize is just very fast. That's why it gives an illusion that all the time my face is in your mind. This is not simply true. Every time you meet anybody, and surprising thing is not only anybody, even your own face when you look at the mirror, every time you see, it is a recognition, it is not cognition at all. This is something very surprising. So let us keep in mind, this Pratyabhijna is the strongest argument against this Shunyavadis and also Kshanika Vijnanavadis about whom we have discussed earlier. Now we will recite the sixth shloka. Rahu Grasta Divakara Indu Sadrusho Maya Samachyadanat Sanmatraha Karana Upasamharanataha Yo Abhut Sushuptaha Puman Prak Aswapsam Iti Prabodha Samaye Yah Pratyabhijnayate Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Sri Dakshinamurtaye. As I mentioned earlier, this sixth shloka is all about two things. One, deep analysis of what is deep sleep or sushupti. Second, it is a definitive refutation of the Shunyavadins as well as Kshanika Vijnanavadins. The meaning of this shloka is withdrawing all the functions of the senses. He who enters into a state of deep sleep and remains there as existence alone, veiled in Maya, like the sun or the moon during the time of eclipse, but who on waking remembers to have slept, to him, the divine teacher, Sri Dakshinamurti, is this prostration. Let me analyze this one. Very, very simple terms. Rahu Grasta Divakara Indu Sadrushaha. Sadrusha means an analogy. What is Divakara means the sun. Indu means the moon. Divakaraha means he who makes the light or who starts great activities among all the living creatures. That is the sun after sunrise. That's why he is called the sun. And sometimes the eclipse comes Rahu Grasta. That is swallowed by the Rahu. Rahu is supposed to be a Chaya Graha. According to Indian astrological this thing, there is a planet that is called Rahu, and this planet comes in between our sight and this either the sun or the moon. So sometimes, you know, the earth itself throws a shadow. But this is only for the sake of people with little intellect that there is a planet. There is no such special planet called Rahu. But what it means, Rahu also means only, it is only the face is there, the head is there, nothing else is there. This story is well known. When the ocean has been churned and Amruta or the nectar has been brought out, the demons were snatched the all that nectar or Amruta Bhanda about to eat. Lord Vishnu took the form of Mohini and he was smiling at the Rakshasas, mesmerizing them, making them forget about the nectar, but distributing everything to the gods. And one fellow, clever fellow, found it out and jumped the queue, sat in the row of the devatas. And this sun and moon, it seems, let Vishnu know by winking. Here, one fellow had jumped the queue. And immediately Vishnu took out his chakra and then cut off the head. By that time, Amruta had entered into the head. That's why it could not be killed. And so even today, out of revenge, this fellow comes now and then as if he swallows either the sun or the moon. This is what we in popular terms call eclipse. But the thing we have to understand is the right word for it is in Sanskrit language, chayagraha. Chaya means shadow. Simply the shadow of either the moon or the earth. It comes in between us and either it eclipses the sun or it eclipses the moon. And then the wonderful thing is the eclipse can be seen only by a particular, at a particular place, by a particular few people and not by everybody. Second, there are people in some part of the world where there is no eclipse at all. Third factor is, it is the sun which or moon which illumines. Even when the sun is covered or the moon is covered, the light that emanates from either the sun or the moon, that alone illumines the shadow. And so there is nothing called 100% covering up of the either the sun or the moon. Even to know that there is a shadow, we need light. In deep darkness, you cannot understand what is a shadow. So produced by the sun, and then it covers the sun, and while covering also, sunlight is needed to cognize that there is a shadow here. Rahu Grasta Divakarindu Sadrisho. What is this analogy for? What happens to a person in deep sleep? Just like this Chaya Graha, what happens is, it looks like that consciousness has withdrawn. It is a mistake. Consciousness is not withdrawn, but the instruments through which consciousness functions, the body is withdrawn. Withdrawn because it is not dead. The mind is withdrawn with all its sense organs. It is not dead. For the time being, the Purusha, pure consciousness, it only enters into that particular state called deep sleep, where there are no experiences that are obtained only through the body or mind. But there is one experience is there. What is that experience? Sanmatraha, I am there. This is one. But as I said, a pure consciousness in the form of what is called Chaya Abhasa, Chitabhasa, it is there. What is the state of the deep sleep? For that, we again have to remind ourselves, Maya, like this Rahu, it also overshadows during the waking, during the dream state, as well as the deep sleep. But Maya has got two powers. What is the power? It has got Vikshepa Shakti, projecting power. Projecting power operates both in the waking state as well as the dream state. But it has another power. It is called Avarana Shakti, which conceals the reality, and that is there present in 100% glory in the deep sleep state. So what does the Chidabhasa, the reflection of the pure consciousness experience? It experiences, I do not know anything. That is the state, is Maya Samacha Sanmatraha. And then Brahman also has got three Lakshanas, Sat, Chit and Ananda. But in this deep sleep state, only two Lakshanas or characteristics are present here. What is that? One is called Sat. The Chidabhasa is there. I am experiencing deep sleep. And he also experiences more Ananda during this deep sleep. How do we know? Sukham Aham Aswapsam. I slept very happily. I slept. So there, when I say I slept, it is indicating two characteristics. First, I did not have any objective experiences and I am very happy. It is strictly not correct to say the Chidabhasa is not experiencing any objective. There is an object. What is that object? The first power of Maya called Avarana Shakti. The Chidabhasa is experiencing Avarana Shakti expressed in the form of I did not know anything. Why does this deep sleep state comes? Karana Upasamharanataha. Because of the withdrawal of what? Karana, instruments. What instruments? The body as well as the mind. Then what happens? This Chidabhasa, along with that causal state of the mind, Sushupta Abhut, enters into that most marvelous state called Sushupti. That is what Puman means, every living creature. Every creature with life is called Puman. Especially this is analyzable, not by any animal so far as we know, only for an enlightened human being. Prak Asvapsam Iti Prabodha Samaye. Prabodha Samaye. Samaye means at the time. When? Prabodha. When he wakes up, when he enters from this third state of Sushupti into the first state called waking state, Prabodha Samaye, what is his exclamation? Prak Asvapsam. Prak. Before waking up into the waking state, what does he say? Asvapsam. I slept well. I was in the state of deep sleep. But as soon as he wakes up, what is his experience? Such a Puman, such a creature, living Jivatma, Pratyabhignayate. He cognizes, this is me, this is my body, this is my mind, this is my house, this is my country, this is my family, this is my religion, this is my language, and everything that we understand in the reality, that is what he says, Pratyabhignayate. Everything as if it is, he recognizes. That's why it took time to dwell upon Pratyabhigna. Every time, it takes a few milliseconds. As soon as you wake up, the first thing is, who am I? Where am I? Oh, I am so-and-so. How do you know you are so-and-so? Perhaps you see your husband and you say, oh, I am the wife of this person. You see your children, say, oh, I am the mother of these children. You see your parents, oh, I am the child of this. And then you remember, oh, this is my servant. I am the mistress. So like that, through all these things, and here is a very important psychological fact. Supposing husband is absent, parents are absent, children are absent, everyone is absent, it is a completely a dark state. Would you recognize? Yes, we do recognize, but it takes a longer time. What is the point? The point is, what I am, that knowledge depends upon the relationship with all these things. Otherwise, it is not possible to say any CV. We cannot give any CV. Prag asvap samethi prabodha samaye yaha pratyabhignayate. And then we understand. What do we understand? Every single day, many times, this is another fact I am going to mention today. Every single day, every living creature goes in cycles through all these things. But we have a misnomer that this Jagratavastha or waking state lasts from the time of getting up until I go to bed. And then for a short time or in between, there are states of dreaming. And then there is a longer period when I do not have any dreams also. That is called the deep sleep state. And usually say I went to bed at about 11 o'clock. I woke up at 6 o'clock. I did not know anything. Such a long time, that is usually classified as deep sleep state. Vedanta dispels these wrong notions and say, no sir, maybe every single minute of our life, we go through the three cycles of complete alertness, semi-dream state, and complete blankness of the mind, and there is a fourth state. This is very important. So, in between these states, remember, all these states come to us in the form of thoughts. This is called vritti pratyaya. These are the two names. The English word thought is translated in Vedantic language either as vritti. And why is it vritti? Vritti means a cycle, circle, because it comes again and again. Also, pratyaya means that singleness of thought. These two are, in English language, are equivalent to thoughts. Thoughts means it could be mere idea, imagination, dream, or planning and remembrance. All these are included in these thoughts, in this word thought. Now, what was I trying to tell you? That every single state, all these three states, many, many, many times we go through. How do we know? How do we know? Because if you can keep waking state for 12 seconds, it is called dharana. If you can keep the same single thought for 144 seconds, 12 into 12, it is called dhyana. If you can keep 144 into 12 multiplied by 12, that is called samadhi. Dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Of course, it is obvious, none of us have got that ability. Every single second, how our thoughts are moving. And all our thoughts go through these three states, come very alert thought, semi-alert thought mixed with imagination called dream, and then complete blankness. And that blankness is also witnessed, but usually we don't take notice. These are the three states. But I mentioned a fourth state. What is that fourth state? It is that state in between these thoughts. I am repeating it. Waking state is a thought. Dream state is also a thought. Dreamless state is also a thought. You may question, we will discuss about it in our next class. Deep sleep state is a thought because the thought, I have no experience, I did not witness anything, is a thought. I witnessed something, that is a thought. I did not witness anything, that is another thought. And to cognize both experience and non-experience, we need the background of that awareness. So that is why I am mentioning it. In between these three thoughts, or otherwise, we, all the thoughts throughout these three states of waking, dream and dreamless, all the three can be defined as three types of thoughts. And in between each thought, in each one of these states, there is, when there is a no thought at all, And without that no thought, you cannot distinguish this is first object, this is second object, this is first thought, this is second thought. You see, I hope you are getting it. This is the first stone, this is the second stone. Or this is the India and this is Pakistan. In between there is a no man's land is there. Otherwise quarrels will come. That no man's land is called pure consciousness. And that pure consciousness is what sustains all the three types of thoughts called waking, dream, as well as dreamless states. So I hope I am able to convey to you. To recollect again, what am I talking about? Every living creature goes through the three states of waking, then dream, then dreamless, and only maybe one of the states lasts longer, then we call it waking state. When the dream state lasts longer, we call it dream state. And when the dreamless state lasts for a particular period of time, because we are creatures of habits and we are awake at some time, we drive also. Driving also, we sleep many times. And I have seen people sleep, what is called dozing and driving. And somehow one part of the mind was able to cognize the curves that are coming and do everything. But 90% of the mind is totally absent. That is why during only this state that accidents happen many times. That is the main reason, unless it is done deliberately. So, these three states can be distinguished by the prolonged period of experience. But Vedanta tells us, but very quickly, every single minute, we are experiencing these three states completely. Nobody is completely alert, even for a few seconds. Nobody is completely dreaming and nobody is completely asleep, excepting, as I said, during those prescribed times when one lies down on the bed. This is an important part for us to cognize. That is what most important for us, we are talking about it. Now, there will come a time when a person recognizes these four states, waking, dream, dreamless, and that which sustains these three states, which is called sometimes Turiya state or the fourth state, it is not a state. It manifests itself in and through all the three states. And when we become wise, we become spiritual aspirants, we practice spirituality and progress in spiritual life, there will come a time we wake up from these three states completely with complete awareness. I have nothing to do with the waking state, dream state, or dreamless state. I am that pure Shuddha Brahma, Shuddha Chaitanya. And that is what he is telling, that Prabodha Samaye, real waking state, Pratyabhignayate, the sadhaka recognizes at that time. What does he recognize? I, Mano Buddhi Ahankara, Chittani Naham. It's a beautiful verse. Gaudapada summarizes in the, I think, third chapter of this Mandukya Karikas Advaita, that there is no sadhaka, there is no sadhana, there is no siddhi, there is no bondage, there is no liberation. This is the highest truth, the only truth. So, when we wake up, and then he who helps us to wake up, Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Sri Dakshinamurtaye. All that I have spoken here is just a summary and an introduction. But there are wonderful lessons we have to learn, which we will talk about in our next class. Rahu Grasta Divakarendu Sadrusho Maya Samachyadanat Sanmatraha Karanopa Samharnato Yo Abhut Sushupta Puman Prak Asvapsamiti Prabodha Samaye Yah Pratyabhignayate Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Sri Dakshina Murtaye. The only point we have to remember, Guru Kripa, Guru Kripa, Guru Kripa. It's drawing all the functions of the senses. He who enters into a state of deep sleep and remains there as pure existence alone, veiled by the covering power of Maya, like the sun or the moon during eclipse, but who on waking up remembers to have slept. On real waking up, he understands, I am pure Shuddha Chaitanya, only by the grace of the Divine Lord in the form of Sri Dakshinamurti. To him, that divine teacher, Sri Dakshinamurti, is this prostration. Through this sixth shloka, two points have been clarified. What are the lessons we have to learn from the study or analysis of the sixth shloka? And second is, this is a strong refutation of the Shunyavadins, Kshanika Vijnanavadins, and by proxy, all the other Vadin schools of philosophy through them. Because there is something called Prathama Malla Nyaya, just like your Olympic. So many people from each country, the best is chosen. And they all have first one competition, then many are eliminated. Then second competition, all are eliminated excepting one. So there will be only two remaining. And those two, that last person with whom one has to compete, wrestle or win over, he, that last person is called Prathama Malla, or the strongest opposite leader, which here represents the Shunyavada, and how Advaita Vedanta refutes it and completely demolishes that logic, again through logic. This is being so explicitly explained in the sixth verse, which, as I said, we will see in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Murmuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.